Érettségi vizsga angol nyelvből. Hallott szöveg értése emelt szint.
Welcome to the listening component of the Matura examination. The listening material and the instructions are recorded on this CD, and the tasks and instructions are printed in your test booklet. There will be three tasks, and every recording will be played twice. The task will begin with some music, and then you will hear, and you can also read, the instructions to the task. This will be followed by a silent period on the CD in order to give you some time to look at the task in your test booklet before hearing the text. Then we will play the recording in one piece. After that, we will play the recording for the second time, but now in shorter sections and with breaks between the sections, in order to give you enough time to write down your answers. Please note that the first item in each task, marked with a tick, is always an example. The whole test is exactly 30 minutes long. Good luck.
Listen.
Task 1. In this section, you will hear a museum guide talking about a famous Van Gogh portrait. Your task will be to circle the letter or letters of the correct answer or answers in the boxes on the right. Please note that in this task, both answers may be correct. However, there is always at least one correct answer. This means you will have to circle one or two letters. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to make your decisions about your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
Starry, starry night. Paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills.
The second stop on our tour is the famous Van Gogh room. To the left is one of the many portraits of Van Gogh in this collection, called Self-Portrait with a Bandaged Ear. Let's move over in front of it. In the last 5 years of his life, Van Gogh painted over 30 self-portraits. Not only do these pictures show the changes in his painting technique, but they also reveal his psychological decline with total honesty. The Self-Portrait with a Bandaged Ear, painted in 1887, is one of two famous versions. Some months before Van Gogh painted this picture, he decided to work with his friend, the painter Paul Gauguin. Their dream was to set up a studio in the South, a community of artists with himself and Gauguin as the founding fathers. After Gauguin's arrival, They lived together for 9 weeks. However, it gradually became obvious that their personalities clashed and they could not work together. They frequently quarrelled, and after one of their rows, Van Gogh lost his temper and attacked Gauguin. This resulted in the famous incident when Van Gogh, overwhelmed by regret and depression, cut off the lobe of his ear. The episode put an end to one of the most famous working relationships in the history of art, as Paul Gauguin boarded the train to Paris the next day. The self-portrait with a bandaged ear was painted 2 weeks after the dramatic event. It shows the artist in a three-quarter profile, standing in a room, wearing a coat and a fur cap. His right ear is bandaged. It was, in fact, his left ear that was bandaged, the painting being a mirror image. Two of the artist's biographers think that Van Gogh, following his release from hospital, was anxious to persuade his doctors that he was indeed perfectly fit and able to take care of himself. He wanted to show that, despite the ear incident, it would not be necessary for the doctors to lock him up in a madhouse, as had been suggested. That is why he's wearing the winter coat and hat, to keep warm, as the doctors advised. The bandage, which had to be soaked in camphor to ease the pain, suggests that he both accepts what has happened and is happy to take his medicine. Unfortunately, the end of the story is truly tragic. 30 of Van Gogh's neighbours handed in a petition asking local authorities to put the artist in a hospital for mentally ill people. Within a few weeks, he was forcibly removed and taken to the local hospital, where he was locked in an isolation cell. In May, Van Gogh was sent to a private asylum, and in a little over a year, he was dead. Now, let's move on to the next room.
And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and grey. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills.
The second stop on our tour is the famous Van Gogh room. To the left is one of the many portraits of Van Gogh in this collection, called Self-Portrait with a Bandaged Ear. Let's move over in front of it. In the last 5 years of his life, Van Gogh painted over 30 self-portraits. Not only do these pictures show the changes in his painting technique, but they also reveal his psychological decline with total honesty. The Self-Portrait with a Bandaged Ear, painted in 1887, is one of two famous versions. Some months before Van Gogh painted this picture, he decided to work with his friend, the painter Paul Gauguin. Their dream was to set up a studio in the South, a community of artists with himself and Gauguin as the founding fathers. After Gauguin's arrival, they lived together for 9 weeks. However, it gradually became obvious that their personalities clashed and they could not work together. They frequently quarrelled, and after one of their rows, Van Gogh lost his temper and attacked Gauguin. This resulted in the famous incident when Van Gogh, overwhelmed by regret and depression, cut off the lobe of his ear. the episode put an end to one of the most famous working relationships in the history of art, as Paul Gauguin boarded the train to Paris the next day. The self-portrait with a bandaged ear was painted 2 weeks after the dramatic event. It shows the artist in three-quarter profile, standing in a room, wearing a coat and a fur cap. His right ear is bandaged. It was, in fact, his left ear that was bandaged, the painting being a mirror image. Two of the artist's biographers think that Van Gogh, following his release from hospital, was anxious to persuade his doctors that he was indeed perfectly fit and able to take care of himself. He wanted to show that, despite the ear incident, it would not be necessary for the doctors to lock him up in a madhouse, as had been suggested. That is why he's wearing the winter coat and hat, to keep warm, as the doctors advised. The bandage, which had to be soaked in camphor to ease the pain, suggests that he both accepts what has happened and is happy to take his medicine. Unfortunately, the end of the story is truly tragic. 30 of Van Gogh's neighbours handed in a petition asking local authorities to put the artist in a hospital for mentally ill people. Within a few weeks, he was forcibly removed and taken to the local hospital, where he was locked in an isolation cell. In May, Van Gogh was sent to a private asylum, and in a little over a year, he was dead. Now, let's move on to the next room.
And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you.
That is the end of task one. Task two. In this section, you will hear about the space flight and landing of two cosmonauts, Alexei Leonov and Pavel Beyayev. Your task will be to decide whether the following statements are true, false, or we do not know, because the text does not say, and write the appropriate letter in the boxes on the right. Write A if the statement is true. Write B if the statement is false. And write C if the text does not say. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again. But this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. A means true. B means false. C means the text does not say. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
In 1965, cosmonaut Alexei Leonov was the first person ever to complete a spacewalk. The trip outside the spacecraft went pretty much as planned, but when he tried to re-enter, things started to get complicated. When it was time to come back inside, Leonov realized his spacesuit had deformed with a lack of atmospheric pressure, and he was going to have to go in head first rather than feet first, as had been planned. He was also going to have to let all the oxygen slowly out of his suit in order to fit into the airlock. It was uncomfortable. He said, "I could feel my temperature rising dangerously high, with a rush of heat from my feet traveling up my legs and arms." But he made it. But his troubles didn't end there. Just before Leonov and his crewmate Pavel Belyayev were due to start coming out of orbit and back to Earth, they realized their landing module's automatic guidance system wasn't working. They had to get back to Earth manually, and they had to choose where to land. They wanted to land at a sparsely populated area within Soviet territory, so they headed for an area west of the Ural Mountains. But as soon as Belyayev turned on the engines, they noticed something was wrong. They were in the landing module and saw that a communication cable still connected their module to the orbit module, and they were spinning around it. Luckily, the cable burned through and the landing module came free, but the delay caused by the cable incident meant they were 2,000 kilometers away from their planned landing spot. They were also in 2 feet of snow, without any shelter except their landing capsule. They had only one pistol aboard their spacecraft, but they had plenty of ammunition. They knew very well that the taiga where they had landed was the habitat of bears and wolves. It was spring, the mating season when both animals are at their most aggressive. As the sky darkened, the trees started cracking with the drop in temperature and the wind began to howl. They were, of course, rescued eventually, but not before spending 2 nights in the freezing temperatures of deepest Siberia.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
In 1965, cosmonaut Alexei Leonov was the first person ever to complete a spacewalk. The trip outside the spacecraft went pretty much as planned, but when he tried to re-enter, things started to get complicated. When it was time to come back inside, Leonov realized his spacesuit had deformed with a lack of atmospheric pressure, and he was going to have to go in head first rather than feet first, as had been planned. He was also going to have to let all the oxygen slowly out of his suit in order to fit into the airlock. It was uncomfortable. He said, "I could feel my temperature rising dangerously high, with a rush of heat from my feet traveling up my legs and arms." But he made it. But his troubles didn't end there. Just before Leonov and his crewmate Pavel Belyayev were due to start coming out of orbit and back to Earth, they realized their landing module's automatic guidance system wasn't working. They had to get back to Earth manually, and they had to choose where to land. They wanted to land at a sparsely populated area within Soviet territory, so they headed for an area west of the Ural Mountains. But as soon as Belyayev turned on the engines, they noticed something was wrong. They were in the landing module and saw that a communication cable still connected their module to the orbit module, and they were spinning around it. Luckily, the cable burned through and the landing module came free, but the delay caused by the cable incident meant they were 2,000 kilometers away from their planned landing spot. They were also in 2 feet of snow, without any shelter except their landing capsule. They had only one pistol aboard their spacecraft, but they had plenty of ammunition. They knew very well that the taiga where they had landed was the habitat of bears and wolves. It was spring, the mating season when both animals are at their most aggressive. As the sky darkened, the trees started cracking with the drop in temperature and the wind began to howl. They were, of course, rescued eventually, but not before spending two nights in the freezing temperatures of deepest Siberia.
That is the end of Task 2. Task 3. In this section, you will hear an interview with a young inventor called Bojan Slat. Your task will be to give short answers to the questions below by continuing the sentences we have begun for you. Use the exact words you hear in the recording. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
Did you know the world's creating a plastic ocean, damaging the earth and hurting our emotions?
In the studio with me, I have Bojan Slat, who received considerable media attention by designing an ocean cleanup project which he claimed could remove 72.5 million tons of plastic from the world's oceans. Bojan, thank you very much for accepting our invitation.
The pleasure is mine.
You are 19 years old. How did you get started with your ocean cleanup project?
When I was 16 years old, I was diving in Greece and suddenly I realized I came across more plastic bags than fish in the ocean. For my high school science project, I then dedicated half a year trying to understand why floating ocean plastic is so difficult to clean up. I'd always been interested in engineering and then came up with the concept of how I thought we could collect the garbage in the ocean.
What was the next step?
In October of 2012, I presented this idea at a scientific student conference and then spent several months with professors and industry experts compiling a list of 50 questions that should be answered in order to confirm that the objective is achievable.
Can you summarize in a nutshell to a non-technical layperson how your ocean cleanup project works?
Lately, there have been many concepts aimed at cleaning plastic from the oceans, but these were all based on ships with nets to collect plastic. Not only would this kind of garbage collection take billions of dollars and 79,000 years, but it would also kill a lot of fish and create harmful emissions. Not a very attractive proposal. Furthermore, the plastic moves round and round in the ocean, so it does not stay in one spot. So I asked myself this question. Why move through the oceans if the oceans can move through you? My idea is to create floating barriers, very much like underwater fences, which are fixed to the seabed and will trap the garbage. These barriers catch and concentrate the plastic. I call it a passive system, which causes very little harm to the environment, as opposed to the ship and net method, which is not at all environmentally friendly.
Boyan, thank you again, and good luck to your project.
Thank you very much indeed.
Oceans, still our dream, we can get it clean. All we need is a unified devotion to get it crystal clear now. If you like that notion.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Did you know the world's creating a plastic ocean, damaging the earth and hurting our emotions?
In the studio with me, I have Boyan Slat, who received considerable media attention by designing an ocean cleanup project which he claimed could remove 72.5 million tons of plastic from the world's oceans. Boyan, thank you very much for accepting our invitation.
The pleasure is mine.
You are 19 years old. How did you get started with your ocean cleanup project?
When I was 16 years old, I was diving in Greece and suddenly I realized I came across more plastic bags than fish in the ocean. For my high school science project, I then dedicated half a year trying to understand why floating ocean plastic is so difficult to clean up. I'd always been interested in engineering and then came up with the concept of how I thought we could collect the garbage in the ocean.
What was the next step?
In October of 2012, I presented this idea at a scientific student conference and then spent several months with professors and industry experts, compiling a list of 50 questions that should be answered in order to confirm that the objective is achievable.
Can you summarize in a nutshell, to a non-technical layperson, how your ocean cleanup project works?
Lately, there have been many concepts aimed at cleaning plastic from the oceans, but these were all based on ships with nets to collect plastic. Not only would this kind of garbage collection take billions of dollars and 79,000 years, but it would also kill a lot of fish and create harmful emissions. Not a very attractive proposal. Furthermore, the plastic moves round and round in the ocean, so it does not stay in one spot. So I asked myself this question. Why move through the oceans if the oceans can move through you? My idea is to create floating barriers, very much like underwater fences, which are fixed to the seabed and will trap the garbage. These barriers catch and concentrate the plastic. I call it a passive system, which causes very little harm to the environment, as opposed to the ship and net method, which is not at all environmentally friendly.
Boyan, thank you again, and good luck to your project.
Thank you very much indeed.
Oceans, still our dream, we can get it clean. All we need is a unified devotion to get it crystal clear now. If you like that notion.
That is the end of task 3. and also the end of the listening exam.